Testament, in First Kings chapter 17. One account in the Old Testament that I really like is in chapter 17 of 1 Kings. It involves the prophet Elijah and an unnamed widow. An unnamed widow and the prophet Elijah and God working behind the scenes and working in the heart of the widow woman, helping her to trust what she's being told, even though eyesight would tell her different, yet she trusted by faith. And we're going to see that as we break down verses 9 through 16. I tell you what, we're going to read the entire chapter, all 24 verses. This is during the days of, again, the prophet Elijah, during the days of King Ahab. King Ahab being a wicked king, his wife Jezebel being a wicked queen. And during this time that is recorded in chapter 17, Elijah is going to cause it not to rain for 3.5 years. So let's read verse number 1. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had not been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And we'll stop right there and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that you would bless our time this evening. We ask that you would guide us through the scriptures. Father, we ask that you would teach us the things we need to learn, remind us of the things that we need to remember, helping us, Father, just as this widow woman did, Lord, trusting you for provisions, trusting you, Lord, for protection. Father, thank you that Elijah was a man of God, but he was a human as well, that he had to learn to trust as well and allow you to provide for him in very mysterious ways. But Lord, thank you that you do care for your people. You do watch over. And Father, we ask that you bless our time, Lord. We ask that you guide us, allowing the word of God to be the lamp unto our feet, the light into our path. And Father, we just ask that you'd speak to our hearts, drawing us closer to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And after reading all 16 verses, we already know how it turns out. We already know that the widow woman trusts what the prophet says. We know that God already provides for her, provides for Elijah. But I do want to break down the verses tonight to remind us that there's something that always has to come first in our life, and that is obedience to God. Obedience shows faith. It shows that we believe what the Lord has already said. Because when you look at Elijah in these days, and God caused a drought and caused a famine to come over the land, God tells Elijah that he's already commanded some ravens to sustain him with bread and flesh. Now again, I don't think I would take any food from any wild bird and put it into my mouth once they brought it to me. All right? But again, that's what God did for Elijah, and God had him hide out by the brook Cherith so that he could have water. But once that water dried up, God tells Elijah he needs to go to Zarephath. Zarephath is not in Israel. God does not send them to a Jewish widow woman. He sends him out of Israel, sends him to a Gentile widow woman. Jesus even brings this up to the Pharisees in the Gospels, and they get mad at Jesus and want to stone him. But either way, God's the one that protects Elijah. But then God says of the widow woman, I've commanded a widow to sustain thee. All right? So again, when God says he's commanded, all right, means that God has already provided what Elijah needs. He's already provided what the widow and her son need, but it still hinges on us following by faith. It still hinges on us trusting what God has said and walking by faith, not by sight. Again, when you look at, I'll just read it to you, Matthew 6:33 reminds us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. First things first. And that is God, always trusting that God will provide, God will guide, and God will be glorified in our lives. Now, when you look at verses 9 through 14, Elijah really has an unbelievable request. Again, it's a hard time in everybody's life. The water in the brook has dried up. So whatever people have at home in their vessels is all the water they have. Whatever food they have, it's all that they have. And Elijah comes, he obeys God, he goes to Zarephath. And the Bible says in verse number 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. So he asks of the widow two things. First, water, and she's quickly willing to go get that. Even though that is something that is it's very precious during this time. There has been no rain, no dew. So whatever water she has, that's all. But she's willing to go get it. She's willing to bring to Elijah some water, but then he asks for bread. Then he asks for something that she at first doesn't seem willing to give him. Because in verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Now, when you think about this unbelievable request from Elijah, he's just asking what he knows God already said that he would take care of. God already said he commanded this widow woman to sustain him, so he just asked for two things that are necessary, right? Water and food. Two things that are necessary for us to survive. But he asks it that he would be served first. Because notice she says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but what little I have, it is all that I have for me and my son. But you notice verse 13 though, because her response is our response sometimes to God when God asks for something, or even when somebody else asks for it. Again, Elijah's just asking for what he needs, trusting that what God had said is true. He told Elijah, "I've commanded the widow woman to sustain thee." Now, he's not forcing her. He's not saying, "Hey, you have to give it to me." He just requests, right? But notice what his response is to the widow woman in verse 13. She says in verse 12, "I don't have enough for you, me, and my son." Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." She said, "I'm gathering two sticks. I'm going to go in and just bake what little I have for me and my son." Elijah says, "Okay, go and do what you said. Go and bake that what you have, but give it to me first." Now, how many of us that would kind of be hard to do? I mean, she is a widow. She has no one to help her. She's trying to take care of her son with what little she has. And here's a stranger asking to be served first. But it is a picture of God. And that's why Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It truly is surrendering everything in our life to the service of God. How does God want to use me? We are to be vessels in the hands of God, letting God use us to serve other people so people will see the light of Christ in us and they will glorify our Heavenly Father. But he says, you know, "Give to me first, make thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Here's the key. He says, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Now he tells her, you're not going to run out of cornmeal. You're not going to run out of oil. Your barrel of meal, your barrel of oil, it will be sustained until the day rain falls upon the earth again. Elijah speaks for the Lord to this widow woman, who God says he's commanded to sustain Elijah. Now she has an opportunity to choose if she's going to trust those words, if she's going to trust Elijah, or trust her sight, because she sees, "I have two sticks, I only have a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil." But again, we're to walk by faith, not by sight. Because we can always, always convince ourselves not to do something based on what we think is right, based on what we think is sufficient. Now, she has an opportunity to trust what Elijah has said. And in verse 15, we see her unbelievable response. All right? You already know the count, but just think about it. Just analyze it. Most people, when faced with a dilemma, they're going to resort to protecting themselves first, protecting their loved ones that they are responsible for, and in the process, miss out on the blessing of God that God has already said he will give. God always blesses obedience. He always blesses faith. And we're reminded in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." There's not a day that goes by where our faith is not tested to some degree. Our faith in trusting God and seeking God for the answer, for the help, the one who has already provided the help, the one who's already provided the means to sustain us. And for us, that's through Jesus Christ. That is through his promises and through his word. So here Elijah, speaking on behalf of God, tells her some words that, you know what, she has to decide, am I going to trust what he's saying? Or am I going to trust what I'm seeing? And I'm only seeing a little bit of cornmeal, a little bit of oil that's only enough to make, I'll call it a biscuit, to make one little biscuit for me and my son to have. And Elijah tells her, okay, go and do that. Go make the cake first, but give it to me. And that's what God says to each of us on a daily basis. Give to me first. And the argument and the excuse sometimes is, well, God doesn't need, and we'll name something. Well, God, if God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, if everything belongs to God, then why does God want anything from me? Because he wants my heart and your heart. He wants our faith so that he can pour blessings out upon us. That's why in Malachi, God says, prove me and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot receive. And there might be someone that says, well, I've never received a blessing like that from God where I couldn't receive it. Well, it might be because we haven't really taken God at his word and proved him. Because is there anything God cannot do for us? Is there anything that God cannot provide that we need? Absolutely not. God can. And again, in this account in 1 Kings chapter 17, this widow woman, we don't even need to know her name. We just need to know that she responded by faith and that God blessed her faith. Again, in verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And here's her response in verse 15. As she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. So at his word, she trusted his word, because it wasn't Elijah she's trusting in. Remember, notice what Elijah said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. He's not saying trust me to provide. He's saying trust God. Trust the God of Israel. All right. So again, she responds with obedience. She responds with obedience to the word of God. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She put her faith in the God of Israel. Obedience truly is the key to blessing. Obedience truly is the key to blessings. Look at, if you would, go to Joshua chapter 1. We'll look at a couple of different scriptures here. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. You probably already know the verse that I'm going to. But Joshua was told by God, in order to have success as a leader, leading the people of Israel, leading God's people into the promised land, he was going to have to do something. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God tells Joshua, don't depart from my word. Keep trusting my word. Remember, Joshua is only one of two spies under the leadership of Moses that tried to encourage the people to go into the promised land when the other 10 spies were telling the people, we can't go in. The giants are too big. God didn't tell us about the giants. I mean, God kind of deceived us. No, God told them about the blessings. God said, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you vineyards you didn't plant. I'm going to give you dwelling places you didn't build. Of course, he didn't tell them about the giants because he wanted them to be focused on the blessings. But they decided after hearing the evil report, to dismiss the blessings of God that God was going to give them and focus on the giants that can't do anything that God doesn't allow them to. But Joshua had already proven himself faithful to God. He's the one that said, look, let's go in because God has given the giants to us like bread. God's going to give us the victory, right? So Joshua was already trusting God's word. He tried to encourage others and they didn't listen. But now God is encouraging Joshua, hey, keep trusting my word. Keep following my word. Keep allowing my word to be the lamp unto your feet and light unto your path. And if you do, then you'll have prosperity. Then you'll have success. Not as the world teaches prosperity and success, but as God teaches prosperity and success. Because the greatest wealth that you and I can ever have is faith. Because our faith is more precious, the Bible says, than of gold. God cares more about our faith. Because you know what? When you truly do have faith in God and your faith, you walk by faith, trusting God, you are one of the richest people in the world. You don't have to be Bill Gates. You don't have to be a billionaire according to the world standard. Because guess who is your Heavenly Father? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right? The one who has it all. I mean, men steal and they kill for wealth, to gain wealth. They'll steal it from people. They'll kill people. They'll rob banks to try to get all the wealth they can. And yet God paves his streets with gold. And people kill for it. People want gold. And yet God says, you're going to walk on gold. There's so much gold in my city, right? But again, it truly is obeying what God says to receive the blessing, to receive the blessing that God has promised. Look, if you would, at 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 22. Because obedience is not just for our children, not just for our teenagers. It's for all of us. God desires for us to obey by faith, to trust by faith. 1 Samuel chapter 15, you look down at verse 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Samuel, the prophet Samuel, he's speaking this against King Saul, who kept disobeying God's word. And guess what? He missed out on the blessing of God because the kingdom was taken away from King Saul. He could have had the kingdom. It could have passed on to his son, Jonathan. But because he did not obey God's word, did not trust God's word, he didn't receive the blessing. And God gave it to David and gave it to the line of David. Look, if you would, at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. The blessings that we miss out on, it's not God's fault. But I'm glad that God is a God of second chances. I'm glad that God is a God of grace where he gives us another opportunity to do right. Acts chapter 5, you look at verse 29. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now Peter and those, they say this as they are being persecuted by the religious leaders, being told, don't speak in the name of Christ. Teach whatever you teach, just don't mention the name of Jesus Christ. And obviously they respond, well, we'd rather obey God, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, another favorite account of mine in the Old Testament. They just refused to bow down to the culture. The culture was, hey, you're going to worship this golden statue that the king set up or you're going to die. They said, no, Our God's able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, if he chooses not to, we're not bowing. And they trusted that God could deliver them out of Nebuchadnezzar's hand and out of the fiery furnace. And guess what? God did, because they were obedient to their faith in God. They were obedient to their faith in God. One last place, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 25. James chapter 1 and verse 25. The Bible says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," so we have to look into the Word of God, we have to continue in the Word of God, "but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed," and the things that he does. When we look into the Word of God, when we continue in the Word of God, and we don't forget what God has shown us in his Word. That goes right back to Joshua. God said, "Don't let my words depart out of thy mouth. Meditate day and night, and my word," your faith in my word, "is going to bring blessings in your life," because God blesses faithfulness. God would have to be a liar if he never blessed the faithfulness of his people and the faith that we exercise. The book of James is all about exercising the faith that God's given us. And obviously, our faith continues to grow as we exercise it, as we look back on past experiences where, you know what, God has been faithful. God has provided. So going back to 1 Kings chapter 17, this widow demonstrated faith by obedience, going and doing what Elijah said, even though she had two sticks to make a fire, a little bit of cornmeal, maybe, I know the Bible doesn't say, but maybe enough to make, you know, a small biscuit. But you know what? She was going to trust what Elijah said. And what Elijah said was, "The Lord God of Israel will take care of you." So she had to trust that God was going to take care of her, even though her sight tells her there's no way. But I have to believe. I have to believe. So she demonstrated obedience, and obedience is the key to blessing. Because Jesus said in John 14 and 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep his word. Trust his word. Apply his word to your life. But she also demonstrated trust. She was obedient to trust what her heart was telling her to do. Again, her sight was saying, "You can't trust what that man is saying because you only have a little bit." But something on the inside was telling her, "No, you can." She had a little bit of faith to just put it into action and to trust what she believed to be true. Look at Psalm 37. Psalm chapter 37. Like I said, there's not a day, there's not a week that goes by where our faith isn't tested in some capacity. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord." That's exactly what she had to do. She had to commit her way unto the Lord. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." The Lord shall bring it to pass. "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." All right. Look at verse 3. I guess I didn't read all that. "Trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." You already know he brought it to pass. The barrel of meal didn't waste, the cruse of oil didn't waste, until the day that it rained upon this earth in those days. Matthew, can you go let Miss Norma in? Very quickly. Look at chapter 34, Psalm 34. And that's the key with us. We have to exercise the obedience towards God and exercise our trust, believing that, you know what, even though I don't see how it's possible, I know that all things are possible with God. So Psalm 34 and verse 22. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Nobody that trusts in God and his provision will be desolate. That's why David was able to say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And when you think about, well, David doesn't know what he's talking about. Are you kidding? For years he was hiding out in caves, on the run for his life as King Saul tried to kill him. So he had to literally depend on God to provide. Where was his food going to come from? And when you read the account of David's life, God blessed David with some valiant men who came to hide out with him. And they would even, he had a couple of them, because there was a time when David said, oh, if I could just have a drink of water from Jerusalem. There just wasn't anything like the water in Jerusalem to David. Oh, if I could just have a drink, oh, that would be so good. He didn't ask anybody to do anything, but the Bible records that three of David's valiant men went into Jerusalem, put their lives in danger, got the pitcher of water, brought it back to David, and David wouldn't drink it. Because he says, I can't drink this after you put your lives on the line for me. He felt guilty that they did that, and he poured it out as a sacrifice to God. I mean, David truly was a man after God's own heart, but the fact that God put some men in David's lives, in David's life, that encouraged David. Because listen, not all the desires of our heart is right. Not all the temptations, or there's no temptation that's right, but you think about when David was hiding out in the cave of Adullam, and the Bible records that King Saul came into the same cave without knowing David was there to relieve himself, to get out of the hot sun and just to kind of cool off and rest, that David had his men said, oh, look, God's handed him over into your hand. Kill him. Man, God has blessed you with the life of your enemy. And David said, David wouldn't touch him. And guess what? Because David would not take revenge for himself, God continued to bless David, continued to protect David, in so much so that David would go into the middle of King Saul's camp at another time, take his spear, take his cruse of water, and God caused a deep sleep upon Saul and upon all the army, and David still wouldn't kill him, even though even at that time his own men are saying, look, God's given him into your hand. So you know what? It truly does take faith on our part that God will provide, but also faith that, you know what? Just because it may seem like God's given me an opportunity to do something, it very well could just be a test. And you think about, again, the widow woman. She was tested. I still think about the fact that God tells Elijah, I've commanded a widow woman. But when Elijah shows up, she's not acting like she was commanded. She's not like, yes, sir, God already told me, right? She's like, no, because I only have a little bit and there's not enough for me, my son, and you. But what God had done, God already knew that she would trust. God would move in her heart to trust him, to trust the word that she was being told. God will sustain you if you will just put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God truly does bless when we seek him first and we trust him by faith. Look at very quickly at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. She had to decide between fear and trust. Fear of, what if it doesn't work out the way Elijah's telling me? Or trust that it'll work out the way Elijah's telling me because it's God that's going to do it. Verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. And what is that snare? Not to follow the Lord, not to trust the Lord. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And when we do put our trust in the Lord, we are found safe. We find that God truly does bring blessings. He truly does fulfill what he said he would do. Now back in 1 Kings chapter 17, looking at verse 15 and 16, as we come to the end, all right, we see Elijah making a request that kind of seems unbelievable, but then the widow woman, well, she makes an unbelievable decision and she decides to obey and to trust, right? And both Elijah and the widow woman and her son receive exactly what God said that he would do. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, when you kind of read the entire account of these 3.5 years of this drought, by this time when he gets to this widow woman, to the time that it rains upon the earth, it's about a year. It's about 1 year. So for 1 year, she has enough cornmeal. It never goes away. It never wastes, right? It's just like when Elisha goes to a widow woman and her sons are going to be sold to the creditors because her husband had died and he was one of the prophets. And Elisha says, well, what do you have in the house? I have nothing but, you know, a little bit of oil. He says, well, go gather as many pots as you can. And then when she comes and says, you know, we've got the pots, he says, okay, go in your house, shut the door, and fill up all those pots with a little bit of oil that you have. Again, there's nothing God cannot do. The question is, are we hearing his voice? Are we obeying and trusting? Are we seeing God provide for us what it is we need? Are we seeing him do great and mighty things in our life? She did what at first she didn't think she could do. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. Again, her faith, because of her faith, it provided for her future. It provided for those future days. Again, what little she had wasn't going to provide for her future days. What if she would have decided, I can't do that, Elijah. I'm just going to keep what I have. Guess what? She would have been provided for the rest of the year. But because she did obey by faith, what little she had sustained her for a year, and not just her, but her son and Elijah as well. Look, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 3 with me. Or listen, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. We have to remember this verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is that? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us. And God says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't know, but what was the widow woman thinking when she turned and went into the house and made, you know, what was it she made? Because she said, I don't even have enough to make a cake. But I bet she did. God's able to do above what we ask and what we think he's capable of doing, if we truly will continue to believe by faith, even in the days that we're living in. Don't allow your faith to be robbed. Don't allow your joy to be robbed. I can imagine the joy that she had day after day, waking up. Day number 10, I get to go make another cake for us. And then going and making it and not even, I mean, by day 10, she's not even worried about if it's going to be there or not. She just knows she's already trusted the word of God and she's learned by experience, yep, you have enough each day. You have enough. And just for a whole year, her faith, because she responded by faith, because she acted upon faith in what God said, she was blessed, her son was blessed, Elijah was blessed. And that's exactly what God wants to do. That's been the message is this morning, last week, all about having the blessings of God upon our life. But it really does hinge upon us. It hinges upon God's people trusting him, walking by faith, even going to God with our cares. I mean, she said it. I don't have enough for all of us. I only have enough. You know what? I have so little oil and meal, I just need two sticks. She didn't say two branches. She said two sticks. I just need two sticks. That's enough to kind of warm a little fire to bake what little I have. So it really tells us that she doesn't have much. But you already know, hopefully by experience, that what little we have, God can do great things with it. Because you remember the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000? And Jesus, he prayed over two fish, five loaves of bread. And he fed 5,000 men. For some, nobody would believe that. There's no way. Not if I was doing it. There's no way I could do it. But when you put it in the hands of God, God can do great things. One last verse I want you to think about. 2 Chronicles, I'll read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. The first half says this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You get it? His eyes are looking. Right, they're going back and forth looking to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Do you realize God's looking for opportunities in your life, in my life, to show himself mighty? He's looking for those moments where, you know what, we're just like, God, I know you can do it. I'm just going to leave it in your hands. And God blesses because God wants to. He wants us to prove him. He wants us to trust him, to obey him, all by faith. And really, in these days, no matter how much longer we have until the Lord comes, God wants us to continue exercising our faith in him. I don't know about you, but there aren't too many people in my life that are looking for an opportunity to bless me. right? Most people are looking for opportunities to take advantage of you. What can you do for me? I mean, you have some people in your life that do want to do things for you, but there's a God in heaven that's always looking every day for an opportunity to bless us because of our faith in him. Now, again, just the breath of life, I mean, God, you know, God just allows us to breathe and wake up without us, you know, seeking him for it, all right? It's his mercy, it's his grace. But he wants to do so much more in our life, and he waits for us to exercise faith. And there are probably times where God has asked for something from us. He's asked for us to do something. He's asked us to provide something for somebody else because he's testing our faith, that we're going to trust him. Well, God, I mean, if I give this to this person, well, what am I going to do? And there's just account after account after account in Scripture reminds us that God blesses the one who's willing to give, the one who's willing to trust God. And we have to keep trusting God and keep believing, you know what? My God will supply what I need. And you know what? I want to be a vessel in God's hand that he can use to bless somebody else. Because when God said, I've commanded the widow woman to sustain thee, all right, God's commanded us. You have learned that God does bless your faith because you have experiences in your life where, you know what, you can testify that, man, God really came through for me. God really did this for me. And you know what? I want other people to experience what God can do. Elijah had already experienced God sustaining him at the brook Cherith. Now, God did it in a very weird way, having ravens bring him food, bring him bread and meat. All right? That's God's business. Obviously, Elijah ate what was brought to him because you know what? Are we going to refuse what God gives? We shouldn't, because God does work in mysterious ways, because that's how God is. God does it in ways that we don't think he can do it or even pray about it, right? But again, God wants to be first. So as we enter in a new week, let's purpose to put God first each day. Not just reading our Bible and praying, but throughout the day, Lord, I want you to be magnified in my life today. I want you to be glorified. Lord, however you want to do that, help me to follow by faith. Help me to respond by faith. Help me to exercise faith in whatever it is you want me to do today so you're glorified. And Lord, I thank you for the blessing I'll get from it. And one of the greatest blessings is the presence of God. Because in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. Like I said, I bet this widow woman was full of joy every day for the whole year and thereafter because she chose to do the right thing. Though the flesh was drawing her to, you can't do that. Yet the Spirit of God was drawing her to trust, and she chose to trust. And guess what? Her faith became sight. Because she saw the cruse of meal, the cruse of oil, not waste. And you know what? When we see God perform his promise to us, we can't help but to be joyous. We can't help but to shout his praises. And it causes us to keep trusting him. We'll still be tested. We'll still have those opportunities. I don't know if I can trust what God says. I don't know if I can follow. I mean, this is real difficult. But then we do. We just keep following by faith. I love the fact we have a God who truly looks for opportunities to bless us. He wants to. He wants us to continue experiencing his blessings, his provisions, his joy, his fellowship with us. What an amazing God that we have.